Abadika Asakara Bakapasa De. Yes, Lord Jesus, oh God, how I need you. Thank you, Lord Abasendere Kumba Hasekidi. Thank you, Jesus, oh Lord, you are holy God. Oh God, how I need you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, oh Lord. Praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Trust you well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so we thank God for another day that God has given us to look at His Word. And today we'll be able to see how the gospel gets to the Gentiles and how the Gentiles are able to receive the Holy Spirit. And there are just some key verses that we'll see in Acts chapter 10, and then also we'll also see in Acts chapter 11. Now, when we think of what the Bible tells us, that and just to quickly take it back, remember Peter was having a vision, and in the vision he saw this sheet which was brought down, and all these animals appeared, the unclean animals, and he was told, rise up and kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord, because I have never taken anything unclean. But then verse 15 says, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, thou call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven. And then verse 17 tells us, but now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which name Peter, was there. And verse 19 said, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So Peter just had gotten the vision, and he was trying to still understand, you know, just think through himself, meditate. He was meditating on the vision. He was asking himself and asking, you know, his spirit and also the Spirit of God, what is the meaning of this? And you know, one of the things that God does is that he expects us to, you know, to meditate on the Word, to think on things, and to allow God to just speak to us through our spirits. And one of the things that you learn, the more you ask questions, the more God answers. And the more you spend your time on a matter, actually it gets to a point where it cracks. I don't know, it's like, even as you're praying, even as you pray in tongues, you need to learn how to, you know, to meditate, or to let your heart speak to God while you pray in tongues, in that at that point you're engaging the prayer, in that as you're speaking in tongues, your heart is speaking to God, and it's like two voices. It's like there's a voice of your heart that God listens to. You know, in the Bible says, these people, they worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far away from me. It's like God looks at the heart, and he wants to see, where is that heart even while you're praying? Are you just thinking of ice cream? Are you just thinking of sleep? Is your heart engaged? Is your heart engaged? And so Peter was engaging his heart, and he was asking, and the Lord said to him, you know, go, for I have sent them. Do not doubt. And the Bible says, then we'll read from verse 21. So we're in Acts chapter 10 from verse 21. So Peter went down and said, I am the man you're looking for. Why have you come? They said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer, who is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the man to stay for a night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And Peter entered his house, his home, and Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I am a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside, and where many others were assembled. You can see how to Cornelius, you remember when the angel came to him, he just said, you know, your prayers and your giving, your gifts to the poor have come up to God as a memorial. And the Bible describes Cornelius as a devout man, as a man who was praying, as a man who gave gifts to the poor, righteous man. And yet, I mean, he did not have the full understanding of the truth. And that's one thing you'll see about God. God does not respect persons, as in he shows no favoritism. He does not discriminate against those who seek him. Anyone that desires to seek God, it's like there's an open check. You know, the way the Bible says, come to the waters, come buy wine, come buy without money. You know, like there are things and there are places in God that are not a reserve. You know, ideally, we always think that, oh, some things are, you know, power is a reserve for, you know, the apostles, miracles are reserved for certain people. But the thing is, God just raises the standard in that any man that is able to meet the standard, any man that seeks him, any man that diligently, the Bible says he is a rewarder. So there are things in God that is available for any man that will come to God. It is just you to come, it is you to desire, and it is you to seek out. And the Bible says that, so Peter, let's see, stand up. So he was trying to worship him. And there's a caution here that, I mean, any time that God uses us, we must never forget that it is God. It is just the mercy of God. It is just his grace. It is just his, you know, it is Christ working in us. I mean, when you raise someone from the dead, when you heal the sick, when anything that you do, whether it is preaching to people, whether it is just serving people, it is always Christ at work in us. It is the grace. Anytime we forget that it is the grace, then we give room for pride. We give room for people to worship us. And as you can see, the apostles were very keen that no one should worship them. And this is something that we see in Peter. This is something that we see in Paul and Barnabas. You know, when they met these people and they wanted to, you know, to worship him and say, these are the gods. And they're like, no way, man. We are just men like you. And so he's able to fight this aspect. And so they talked together and they went inside. And verse 28, now Peter starts to speak. Now Peter told them, you know, it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for you. Now tell me why you sent for me. Verse 30. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me, and he told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon a tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Now, if you think about, I mean, someone, I'm just, at times you wonder how, you know, how God deals and how God works. Because, like, you can imagine someone has sent for you and is like, okay, sure, now tell us the message that God has given you. And I'm thinking Peter at this point might have been like, if he remembers the vision, it was not relating to what, I mean, to the message, but basically it was him being told that he needs to, you know, to reach out. He needs not to call the Gentiles unclean. But you see verse 34, then it says that, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. And I think if you look at it in King James, it says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John preaching his message of baptism? And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and the apostles, and we apostles were witnesses of this, you know, and he went on to say how they, you know, they put him to death. And he's, you know, verse 43, he's the one of the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to his message, and the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to them being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? And he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. If you can just quickly jump to Acts chapter 11. And just to summarize this, Peter went back to, you know, to the believers, and he was trying to summarize to them what happened. And then in verse 15, Acts chapter 11, we say, and as I began to speak to them, verse 15, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said, John indeed baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the gift, like he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that could withstand against the Lord? Or rather, you can read it in a different version. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift as he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? And when the others heard this, they stopped objecting, praising God, and they said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. So if you see the cultural barriers that existed in this time, it was so significant that no Jew was even allowed to enter into the home of a Gentile. So anyone who was not a Jew could not enter. But you see, God had already started speaking to Peter that, you know what, don't call unclean what I have called clean. And God was trying to tell Peter that, you know what, the Gentiles are also accepted of me. And so as he perceived this, and then when he went the house of Cornelius, the Bible says that Cornelius received him and told him that, you see what, I was praying, I was fasting. It was until 3 p.m. Then the angel came and told me to welcome you, and now you have come. But you see, for me, what one of the things that I see is that God does not ask of us the easy things. I mean, Peter would be very comfortable preaching to the Jews. I mean, he had no issue preaching to the Jews, going to the house of Simon, you know, raising, you know, Dorcas, all this, because he had no issue raising, dealing with the Jews. And this is something that you also see among the believers. The first believers that were scattered, the Bible says they only went preaching to the Jews. But there are those that went to Antioch and started preaching to the Gentiles. So this divide was so big but God was trying to say that, you know what, those people that you think are not worthy, those people that you think do not deserve this forgiveness, those are the ones that I want to forgive. That is why we must never write off anyone, even those people that hurt us, even those people that really persecute us. We must never write them off because we don't know the plans of God for mankind. God desires, when the Bible says that He desires that all men be saved, all men includes killers, includes murderers, includes rapists, includes criminals, all men includes cultists. God desires that all men be saved. There's a desire in God that every man comes to a knowledge of the truth. And so you see, now Peter goes to this house, and as he starts to speak, and for me what interests me is the Bible says that as he was speaking, no, he spoke to them the message of salvation. He spoke to them that, you know what, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Very important things there when you see how the scripture tries to tell you that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And someone will ask, okay, why did he not say anointed with the Holy Spirit alone? It tells us that it is possible to see that the anointing with the Holy Spirit and the anointing with power is actually two separate events. Or rather, there are two things that happen, that God has given the ability to every believer. And the power there also is dunamis, you know, it's potential power. Jesus told his disciples, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power, or rather, but you shall receive power after that which the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So one of the things that you will see, it is possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but then you don't walk in power. That power is a dynamite power. That power is that power that will give you the dominion that you need. So you can find someone, yes, is filled with the Spirit, but he does not have the reflection of living in authority in his life. He does not have the dominion. He does not have the power that should accompany the feeling with the Holy Spirit that has come on him. Because you see, when God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, he gives you all of him. He gives you his Spirit. But you see, with every level that God brings you to, there is also a requisite level of commitment. There's a requisite level of consecration. There's a demand that the Spirit, that law of the Spirit of life, leads you to. There's a place that's why you see, remember, if you think of Jesus, when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, when he came out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. It drove him. So that means there is a leading into the wilderness experience, where there's a place where it is in between your calling and your assignment. And that is a place where God moves in you and teaches you his ways. You meet God in a deeper way, and you come out from that place with a message. The message for your generation. You come out into that from that place with the power that you need to move to be a world shaker. The power that you need to make an impact in the world, it comes from that place of that wilderness where you encounter God, and where he has led you through the Spirit, where he takes you through that consecration. And the Bible says that when Jesus came out from that, he came full of the Holy Spirit and power, and his fame went out throughout Galilee, you know, and all that place. So it was after he went through that consecration that he now transitioned from that baptism in the Holy Spirit that he had into the place where he now moved into the miraculous, and now he was able, his fame went out. So there are things that happen in between that moment when we are filled with the Spirit, when we receive that mark of divine approval, that outpouring of the Spirit, to the place where it translates as power. Now, in that translation of power, there is faith, there is There is the anointing of the Spirit, there is the Word of God, there is a consciousness that God gives you, there is a prayer, there is a fasting. But you see, all these things are not done on human effort. Remember, it is the Spirit that leads you into that place. Now, some people will say, no, I'm going to fast until I receive power. I'm going to do this. So it's, you think it's a transaction, but it's not really that. But it is a place where God starts to teach you his ways, and as you learn to be obedient to his Spirit, as he tells you, okay, today you need to fast. Now, as you obey that, then now God can trust you. It is a trust that is built, in that there are things that God will never give to us because we've not yet grown in our obedience, we've not grown in our capacity to handle that. And there are things that even when you go, because remember, when you're going to face the enemy, the enemy looks for your loopholes. He can easily scan you and see that, you see, you still have an issue with this place. You still have an issue with this. And remember when Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, yet he has nothing on me. As we depend on Christ's obedience, as we depend on the righteousness that Christ gives us, are there places that we still are giving the devil a foothold? Now, those are the areas that the enemy capitalizes on. And as long as he has seen a place, the enemy never has all the resources that you think he might. He only focuses his resources on the areas of our weaknesses. And that's why someone will say, no, I have tried everything to overcome this sin. You know, they will always tell you, God, I am saved in many things, but in this area, I am still not yet saved. Why? Because the enemy has found that place where he can capitalize and use that. So as we grow in our obedience, as we learn to overcome, and you know, the sins of man are always in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Three main areas where every man falls, or where every temptation comes: what you see with your eyes, what you do with your body, and the glory, you know, the desires of, and someone summarizes as the three G's: girls, gold, and glory. Yeah? Or rather, I mean, sex, money, and you know, the pride of life, flesh, and just that desire to know. So anytime you see sin falls into those three categories, and all sin is categorized there. But you see, in each of these three areas, you will be tempted. And even Jesus, in the same way he was tempted in these three areas, he was tempted in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, when he's told, you know, I'll give you all these kingdoms, you know, that's pride of life. When he's told, turn this, you know, stone into bread, that was to satisfy his flesh. You know, all these temptations that came to him were along these lines. But you see, the answer is always the Word. Now, the anointing, when it comes, it has a purpose. It has an errand. The anointing is to be a witness. It's not to show you're the most powerful man of God. The anointing that came on Jesus when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power, was so that he could do good. The Bible says he went about doing good. That good there is philanthropy. He went about doing good. And he was doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. The anointing comes, the power comes to rescue men from darkness. When God has given you a gift, it is to bring men from darkness. Remember, we are in a warfare. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I mean, there are people who need to be snatched from the prey of the mighty, you know, from the mouths of the mighty. There are ladies who you will meet that, unless you intervene, whether it is with your resources, whether it is a word, whether it is with counseling, there are people who need you, that God has empowered, whether it is the anointing for wealth, the anointing for the marketplace. There is something that God has given you, the anointing to run an errand, of which that errand is the one that will do good and heal, bring healing to those who are oppressed. It will bring salvation to those that need it. And so God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed. Now, when we see the anointing of the Spirit, The Bible says, and that's why I read these two parts, that you can see that in the same way that the Holy Spirit came upon the believers on the day of the Pentecost is the same way that it came upon the Gentiles. Now, the Bible says, for because as they saw them speaking in tongues. So we see a confirmation of two areas, and where, and even three, if you count Samaria, and later on, even if you add Acts 19, where Paul in Ephesus, there is something that is called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which sees comes to be a separate event from salvation. Yes, they believe in the Lord Jesus. Yes, they are baptized in water. But you see, there is another manifestation which confirms what has already happened internally. So someone will say, but I've received Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit with me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and that is true. But you see, beyond that, there is also that supernatural empowerment that comes when the Holy Spirit now confirms what has already happened to you, but now he makes it manifest to others. Just like the same way baptism in water is an evidence to others that you have changed, likewise also the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues. The Bible says, for they had them speaking in tongues and praising God just as it had happened to them. So in the same way that it happened on the day of Pentecost is the same way it happened to in Samaria, is now the same way happening to the believers in the house of Cornelius, who now believed as the word was spoken to them. Remember, even there was no even laying on of hands, it was just the speaking. I remember I had a friend where she desired to speak in tongues, and as we prayed on the phone, she started to speak in tongues. Now, there's also someone else. I prayed with him and we prayed together and he spoke in tongues. And there are people who have laid their hands on, they speak in tongues. No, but you see, it is not really the action, but it is the faith in the person to take hold of the gift, to lambano the gift, to desire to receive the gift. And as the person that is anointed lays their hands or speaks the word of God, and when that faith process happens, then the person gets to be filled with the Spirit of God and they speak in tongues. And that speaking in tongues comes as an initial evidence of what God has done. And you see, when he goes and tells the guys in back, the Jews, and he tells them, it was the same thing that happened. So who was I to say no? Now, the same thing that God did to these people, God is also able to do to each and every one of us today when we desire to be filled. And this filling will always be a continuous process. It's not just even a one-time event. Each time as you desire to be filled with the Spirit, even as you pray, you will realize from time to time that God pours something more. God infills you with something more. There's something extra that God adds. There's a new tongues that come. There's a new infilling that comes. There's a new level that you grow into. And you will know it because something spiritual that manifests in the physical will keep happening to you even as you dig yourself deeper in the things of God, deeper in prayer. You'll one day either you find that something just happens that you know within you that you have moved, you have shifted. Now, that is the place of prayer. That is the place of consecration. And as you shift, you'll realize that an extra demand will be placed on you. Now, if you're obedient to it, then you move into new authority. You move into new power. You move into new levels. Now, that is the way of the Spirit. Someone call it the school of the Spirit. Someone call it the way of the Spirit. Whatever way you can call it. But there's a way that the Holy Spirit teaches us and grows us in the things of God. So I'll stop there. But generally, what we've seen today is that God does not respect persons. God does not discriminate anyone. Everything, every gift that is available to the seekers, is available to those who will seek him, is available to those who desire him, is available to those who are longing for him. As Cornelius was longing for God, God came and filled him. Despite the prejudices, despite everything, God still confirmed his word that, you know what, the Spirit is poured out for everyone. So I'll stop there. And yes, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. So just two things struck me. I've never paid attention now to the addition of power to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Ghost and with power. And I think one of the challenges that we face today, or the church faces today, is the fact that a lot of us believers lack power. And I remember one time in church, we were talking about, it was like a study, and we were just talking about false prophets and the rest. And one of the things that was highlighted was that one of the reasons a lot of people go to false prophets is because the real Christians actually lack power. If we did have the power from the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to do these things and from a genuine heart and a genuine spirit. Then the second thing that struck me was that the Holy Spirit was actually working on both Cornelius and Peter. I can imagine if the vision was only revealed to Peter and he had to go to Cornelius and start from scratch explaining, or if it was only revealed to Cornelius and Peter, you know, and then the messengers Cornelius sent had to do double work in having to convince Peter to go. So it just tells us that when God is at work, he has a way of covering all angles.
Yes.
And you remember there's the scripture that says that he makes the crooked part straight. So I've never seen that, you know, we say, oh yes, the angel appeared to Cornelius, God showed Peter a vision. But that in the end was to make sure that the work he wanted to do for the Gentiles is easier for both of them to be obedient.
No, that's very true, and that's one thing. You know, when you say once God has spoken, twice I have heard. And when we see God say that every matter be established in the witness of two or more witnesses, we actually see that God actually, he speaks to people, especially when it is critical, he confirms it. And when you're sensitive, you will hear it in your spirit. When you read the word, you will see the word. When you listen to a sermon, which you'll just listen randomly, you will hear the same message. When you meet someone on the bus, or your husband or your child, will just say the same message. And God does not mind confirming us. Think of Gideon. Gideon was like, no, God, you have to confirm it. But the thing is, God will always confirm it. And God is patient. That's the thing. And one thing you will learn also about the voice of God, anytime you go back to God on the same issue, he will still say the same thing. that will tell you that, no, this is really God insisting on this. Because he has already spoken, and his word is already always settled in heaven. And no, I thank God for that. And yes, it's true. There's a big difference between once we get baptized and the power, and really God really desires that every believer walk in power. But it's available, and it's just us to come to the waters and drink, and he does not limit us how much you can drink. Okay. I think I can pray it now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We praise your name. We exalt you. Thank you for speaking to us, O God. Indeed, we know it is never our effort. It's never our words. It's never our doing, O God. But Lord, your mercy, O God. And indeed, we submit to your grace. I thank you for teaching us, O God, that you're not a respecter of persons. You don't show favoritism, O God, but everyone, from all men who desire to seek you, who is devout, who is hungry for you, that, Lord, you fill them, O God. And indeed, you say that as we hunger and thirst in the place of righteousness, for righteousness we shall be filled, O God. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, first of all, the one that does not know you, the one that feels far away, that Lord, as they ask you to forgive them and to bring and to believe, to put their faith in you, that Lord, you reconcile them to God, because this is the message, that you have made peace with man, O God, through this man, Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for that forgiveness of sin that comes, O God, through the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that, Lord, even as we hear your word, as we are challenged, O God, to desire to be filled, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I pray for that person there that desires that evidence of speaking in tongues, that desires that baptism, that outward confirmation, that Lord, you have filled them with your Spirit. I pray that it shall happen to them at this very moment as they hear your word, O God, and by faith, the Lord, they shall be able to receive your Spirit, O God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, O God, for even them that are filled, that Lord, there is a greater infilling, O God. There is continuous infilling, O God. I pray for the grace to be obedient, to be sensitive to your Spirit, to hear your word, O God, to be guided by your voice, that Lord, we shall move from that place of just being baptized to that place of power, because we need power to be vessels that we can be effective, to be effective witnesses in this world, O God. I pray that you hear us, and that Lord, your grace shall go before us, keep us, sustain us, help our families, help our children. We rebuke sicknesses, we rebuke attacks of the enemy, oh God. We come against curses of the enemy, and I pray that you cover us in every way, oh God. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. May your name be praised and be exalted. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.